If you would turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. If you understand what's going on in Exodus chapter 1, there's Pharaoh's having the babies killed, and this is where the midwives don't kill all the babies. But in chapter 2, there's something that takes place that I want to focus a little bit on, because when we see our world going the wrong way, and I know I sometimes just bring it up maybe too often, but I try to be an encouragement and try to help us understand, because I know you guys see what I see. I see the world going in a crazy direction, and it causes me to grieve seeing our country going the wrong way, seeing our children. Like I mentioned a while ago, what are our children and grandchildren going to see? What kind of world are they going to grow up in? And you know their best hope? Right here in this book. And the only way they're going to get it, most of them are going to get it, by those of us right here. And so what we need to do is to try to be a blessing and try to help. But we understand some things that whenever we grieve, whenever we groan, there's a time that God hears us. And here in this particular passage, I want to focus a little bit on the groaning. You say, that's crazy. Well, I want to focus on it because there's a passage here that we're going to study, and then we're going to go to the New Testament. But let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read a few verses here, starting with 21. Verse 21 in chapter 2 of Exodus. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah. This is where Moses is in, he's gone to Midian, and he has grown up, he grew up in the Pharaoh's house as Pharaoh's grandchild. And it says, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, talking about Jethro, his father-in-law, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you that nothing escapes your notice. No struggle we face, no battle we're faced with. Lord, we know that this world puts pressure on us and twists and turns and tries to chew us up and spit us out. But Lord, we thank you that you know what's going on, and you give more grace, and you give and you give and you give again. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us, and Lord, we ask you to let your Holy Spirit move in a special way. And Lord, we need to hear from you and not from the preacher. Let us do that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and you know the story about the children of Israel. They were in bondage for 400 years, and they were in Egypt. And all this time, it's getting worse and harder and harder and harder. And I can just imagine the children of Israel thinking they're in bondage, and where's their God? He's forgotten them for 400 years. But isn't it amazing? Now, Moses came towards the end of the 400 years, but Moses knew that they were his people. Even though he was raised by Pharaoh, he knew the Israelites were his people. And he was going to identify with the Israelites, even so much so that he killed one of the Egyptians who was beating one of the Israelites. And that's why he ran. He found out that somebody knew about what he had done, and so he ran. And that's why he went to Midian. But I like this passage here because it says, look at verse 24, it says, "And God heard their groaning." I want to tell you something. You and I, we see our country, we see our people, we see the way things are going, and it's almost like a tidal wave coming at us, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. And it grieves us. It causes us to groan deep inside. Lord, what's going on? But we got to remember that the Bible tells us that this type of stuff is going to happen. This is actually fulfilling the scriptures. Perilous times are going to come. In fact, we're right on the verge of it. So what do you do? Same thing the children of Israel did. Cry to the Lord. See, the Lord heard their cry. He answered their cry. Why did he answer their cry? Look at what it says in verse 24. It says, God not only heard their groaning, but he remembered his covenant. He remembered his covenant because he made it three times. He made it to Abraham. He made it to Isaac. And he made it to Jacob. And then he confirmed it to Moses. Because if you go into verse 3, you'll see that he tells Moses that this is what I want you to do. I've heard the children of Israel's cry. I've heard my people. And what did God tell Moses to tell Pharaoh? Let my people go. Even though they were in bondage all that time, they were still his people. 400 years, and he let it go on 400 years. Hey, guess what? There's another 400 year period in the scriptures. The 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But what are we going to learn from this? I want you to remember, when you get upset over what's going on around us, you're not near as upset as God is. It's his word they're disrespected. It's his people that they're disrespected. It's his son that they're turning their back on and spitting on and using the name of Jesus in a profane way. But I want to go a little farther. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. You see, sometimes we think we're the only ones that see what's going on. Believe me, Christians are not the only ones that see what's going on. In fact, there are a lot of people, I talk to people on the bus quite often, and they, even though they might not be saved, they say that, man, this is a crazy, crazy world we're living in. Sometimes I just shock them by saying, hold on, it's going to get worse. Because it is. It's going to get worse. Don't expect it to get better. Not till Jesus comes back. But here in verse 22. Let's go there. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Well, let's start with verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature awaiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You say, what are you saying, preacher? That verse right there tells me that it's not just the Christians that are groaning, but all of creation groans. The more wicked, the farther we get, mankind gets. I hear people all the time, or from time to time, talking about Mother Earth. Makes me want to barf. There is no Mother Earth, okay? But I will tell you, this planet is upset. Not with you and I. You say, what's going on? These fires and the floods and the earthquakes and the volcanoes and all those things, these are the growing pains, the groaning, prevailing, because this planet wants Jesus back. Because the planet, you say, well, how on earth can a planet do that? I don't know. But I do know that Jesus said if the people in his day didn't cry out, that even the stones would cry out. There's a lot more to it than we know. You say, can rocks and trees cry out? Only the God that made them knows. But every once in a while when we're singing, there's power in the blood and saved by the blood and songs like the old rugged cross and things like that. Every once in a while we sing songs like that. I think I hear this old building say amen. Now you might call me crazy. Won't be the first person, that's for sure. But the truth is, the Bible says that the whole of creation groaneth. When you see things going crazy in the world, don't think you're alone. If you could put a microphone to some of the trees and if they could actually talk, and if the animals could talk, I guarantee you they would actually say things like, you got to get these people back to Jesus. Oh, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe what we believe. But this book is absolutely perfect. Don't want to add a comma. Don't want to take away a period. It's absolutely perfect. And if it says the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now, guess what it means? Don't try to make it say something it doesn't. Look at what it says up there. Verse 20, it says, for the creature was made subject to vanity and not willing, but by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, when's the glorious liberty of the children of God going to take place? When we come back with Jesus, he sets up his earthly kingdom. You say, what do you think is going to happen? Well, Zechariah chapter 14 says that when Jesus puts his foot on the Mount of Olives,
it's going to split. And there are places in the Bible, a number of different places, where it says the islands fled away and the mountains were not found. It almost leads you to believe that at that point when the Lord puts his foot on the Mount of Olives after coming back, he's going to remake the surface of the planet. Now you do know that the surface of the planet is all messed up because of the flood. Mountains, floods, and the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, it says, and there was no more sea. Interesting. But I want you to get this. Jesus,
he's going to redo the surface of the planet, I believe. And that's what this is talking about. And the planet, it says, and the creature itself. What kind of creature? Well, funny, today I drive a route, and I drive around Lake Hunter, Lake Morton, Lake Hollinsworth, and Crystal Lake. The nice drive is just too tight on time. But today I saw 5 different alligators. And I thought that was cool. None of them over about 4 foot, but they were all 4 of them right around Lake Hunter, and one out there by a settling pond over by the VA. And I'm sitting there thinking, these alligators, are they waiting? That's what it says. The creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see, there's a whole lot more to what God has done in this planet and with you and I than what we know. We see just a smidgen. But the truth is, when you groan, when you see things going the wrong way, it grieves our spirit, and rightly so. Something's wrong with you and I if we don't get upset at sin. If we don't get upset when we hear our government condoning the murder of unborn babies, or condoning same-sex marriage, or condoning pedophilia, then there's something wrong. And one of the things that bothers me, I think, is when I hear about it and it doesn't bother me. If it doesn't bother me, if it doesn't bother you, we need to get back in the book and see just how hideous and how horrible God says it is. And it needs to grieve us. When it grieves us, when we see sin and it grieves us, we're where we're supposed to be, because that's the reaction Jesus has too. And if we don't get the grieving process, if it doesn't just about break our heart to see these children and see the world get a glimpse, because we've got a telescope of sorts that we can see into the future and see just how bad things are going to get for these children if Jesus doesn't come back soon. And I know, I look at this banner up here about with the children, and it doesn't matter to me what color their skin is. They all need Jesus. It doesn't matter how, whether it's a boy or a girl, they need Jesus. Doesn't matter whether it's a teenager. They need Jesus. And I want to see, we were talking a little bit about making the change and putting the nursery in there where the Sunday school class is, and we're going to do that soon, probably this week. Does that create some problems? Yes, it does. But it's good problems. Problems that you want, because you got children coming. You want the children coming. But we've still got to be grieved. If we're grieved about the direction the world's going, it'll motivate us to be compassionate towards the children. And what happened when the Lord had compassion? It says he was moved with compassion. Compassion is not compassion unless it moves you to action. And that's what we want. What we want to do is just to do what we can to make a difference. I hate to see this world going the wrong way. I hate to see our president trying to do the right thing, and they're trying to impeach him, doing everything they can to try to impeach him, when they ought to be worried more about 33,000 emails and Benghazi. But it just shows what kind of evil world we're living in. When the devil's crowd's running things, guess what? It's going to go the wrong way. But don't get to a point where it stops grieving you. Look at what else it says. We'll read on a little farther. Verse 23. And it says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for something, right? One of the things we're looking for is Jesus to come back. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we wait with patience, wait for it. Verse 26 talks about groaning too. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit does what? When we groan because of the burden, I don't care if it may be you may be groaning because you've lost a loved one. You may be groaning because somebody's living in sin that you care about and they're not right with God. It may be a job situation. It may be a family situation. It could be a number of things that cause us to groan and grieve. But it says here that the Holy Spirit takes those groanings and delivers them to Jesus. So when you groan because of sin and the way the world's going, and guess what? The Holy Spirit can take those groanings. It says which cannot be uttered. Sometimes you just can't put it into words. But the Holy Spirit takes it from your heart to the heart of God and delivers it. I don't like to groan. I don't like to grumble. Turn over right quick to Psalm 38. One more place. Look at verse 9, Psalm 38, verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. The Lord knows what you're going through, just like he knew what the children of Israel were going through. He knows we get upset. He knows we're burdened. He knows that things are not going the way we are. But remember, this world is not our home. This is not where we're going to spend eternity. We're going to come back with Jesus after the 7-year tribulation, and we'll come back here, and he's going to set up his reign for 1,000 years. But that's just 1,000 years. People ask me sometimes, they say, you believe the world's going to end? They were asking about that, what, 2012 or whatever it was. And I said, no. I told those kids, I said, the world's going to be around at least another 1,007 years. 1,000-year reign of Christ and the 7-year tribulation period. But when we get home, that's going to be eternity. But your groaning isn't hid from him. It might be hid from me. It might be hid from others. But he knows. And there's times when we need to talk to him about it. Lord, we know this crazy world going the wrong way. But Lord, we're just going to stay right. We're just going to keep moving. We're going to keep trying to preach right and stand right and be right. And guess what? One of these days, what a day, glorious day that will be when we see Jesus. He'll fix it. He'll straighten it all out, and that'll be a great, great, we'll have the front row seat to watch it take place. But in the meantime, all we can do is what we can do, just to make a difference where you can. And keep plugging on. Do you get discouraged, preacher? Absolutely. Am I allowed to show it? Not so much. I try not to. But when I turn that discouragement around and encourage myself in the Lord to move me in a right direction to make a difference, that's where we need to do what we need to be about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we love you. Lord, you know our heart. You know we grieve. You know we've got a burden for the little ones, for the teenagers. How many of them are not going to hear, never hear about Jesus? Lord, don't let us be the blame. Lord, help us tell everybody we can. And Lord, don't stop grieving us. Don't stop our groaning. Lord, I want that burden for the little ones. I want that burden for teenagers. I want that burden for young adults and older adults and senior citizens. Don't take away my burden. Increase my burden. Help us to be burdened for you. For more people to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.